kind of give you a heads up about the House of Prayer. The House of Prayer isn't all about one person or two persons or three persons. It's a house of people praying. Okay? And everyone has something. And sometimes you may think that your little gift is not valuable. I've got news for you. Your gift is just as valuable as anyone else's. So don't underestimate God's ability to use you. Okay? And when he does give you something, you probably would... I'm going to talk about me. When I first got to be filled with the Holy Ghost, my biggest joy was when there was a testimony of God's average person doing something outside the box. Because it had more value to me than the one that was at the pulpit. Does that make sense? Why? Because I had this ungodly idol that these who were in a suit preaching from a pulpit had a better or a bigger position. And that's one of the reasons why I wear shepherd's clothes. Because Jesus took care of the sheep, and he was a shepherd, and he was a carpenter. So if I went on a carpenter's field, I would fit in. Right now. I'm not looking for a special job. I'm just letting you know. Come here to work. Don't come to show. Come to work. Bring what you have for your tools. I remember many years ago, the Lord showed that I had a carpenter's belt all around me. And there was all kinds of tools hanging all around. And of course, you know, a carpenter has to have his tools with him. Otherwise, he's not going to do the job. Try to hammer something without a hammer. It ain't going to work. So bring your spiritual tools, okay? Bring your spiritual tools. Don't come empty-handed. Prepare. Take time with the Lord in the morning. What have I got that can be a building process for someone else? You know, you understand where I'm coming from? You may have a word that will be so outside the box that's going to transform someone that really needs to be transformed. And you may say, oh, Mom, it's only a little word. I've got news for you. There's no such thing in the Bible as a little word. Because Jesus took a seed from the heavenlies by the Holy Ghost, put it inside of Mary, and he became the living word. And what are you doing? Don't stifle the word. Okay? Don't stifle the word. His name is Jesus, and he's alive in you and me by his Spirit. Got it? Okay. Father, we just ask for you to give us the open heaven to a deeper degree than we've known, so that we will grow and mature to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, I want to take you to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. St. Paul is writing to these people and he wants them to be awake. Okay? Now, you know, St. Paul was not to meet the Lord except in the way that you and I have. Because he really wasn't around Jerusalem when Jesus was there in the flesh. He came a little bit later, and that's okay too. So, I'm going to start this at verse 7. Well, back it up to 4. It's going to be a little easier. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus, or Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Now, if Jesus was trying to write this letter to the Corinthians through Paul, he was expecting every person in the Corinthians church to be giving something. To really manifest something out of every vessel. Because he's making it so clear. The testimony about Christ was confirmed in them. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gifts as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. When we wait for the Lord to be revealed, how many of you saw Jesus when Liv was giving out the word today? Put your hand up. So you saw the living Christ inside of Liv. Okay? That's an awesome thing. Okay? I can tell you that Friday, in the testimony that was given, I saw the living Christ that had used Marianne. And we saw what he had confirmed over and over to make sure that we didn't miss the mark. And God didn't have Marianne in New York State with us. But he made sure that we would be knowing that the word that came through that vessel on Tuesday night was on target. The vision was on target. It was confirmed over and over. I mean, you know, like how many times you get pounded on the head to let you know it's real? Look at your neighbor. Say, God will pound whatever truth you and I need over and over until we get it. And we say, Lord, don't stop. Amen? And amen. All right. I'm going to back that same verse up. Verse 6. And I'm going to give it to you out of the Amplified. In this way, our witnessing concerning Christ the Messiah was so confirmed and established and made sure in you, meaning the people, not the pastor, that you are not consciously falling behind or lacking in any special spiritual endowment or Christian grace, amplification, the redemption of which is due to the power of the divine grace operating in your souls by the Holy Spirit. That's operating in your mind, will, and emotions. By the Holy Spirit. While you wait and watch, constantly living in hope for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and His being made visible to all. When I look at you, and you, and you, and I see Christ coming forth from you by your love, by your compassion, by your grace. That's the living Christ visible inside of each and every one of you. That's really what Christianity should be. You are a living epistle, a written letter for those around you who are looking at you is kind of strange because they may be not being able to figure out why are you so cotton picking different. Can anybody relate? You are different. You're not of this world. You may be living in this world, but you're not of it. You're in the kingdom of God already. When you're full of peace, joy, and love, that's the kingdom literally visible for those who can't stand you. Yeah, but it definitely does bring some pressure. Amen? All right. Now that pressure is real, but it's intended of God to irritate the darkness. You were a child of darkness, but you're now a child of light. Yeah. That was the name of our prayer group, by the way. We were called Children of Light. Well, I can remember when the Holy Spirit gave us that word. I remember going into the my living room. She's not here. Dee's not here today. Going into my living room, and there was a songbook that we used to have, and there was a song in there called Children of Light. And I had never heard that particular scripture, but there's all over the New Covenant that we are children of the light. And we sang the song for the first time in my living room. And I'll be honest with you, the anointing that was unbelievable in that house was so awesome. And God opened up my nose at that time. You say, what do you mean opened up your nose? Haven't you been able to breathe? Well, I could never smell things in the spirit until that time. Now, you say, oh, don't get religious, Kim. Well, I've got news for you. God knows how to use every item in the book to make you see what you never saw before. So here's what happened. I was a brand new believer in the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And as a new believer, God will stretch. Terrence, are you hearing me? Yeah. Good. God will stretch to make you see and to make you understand whatever you need to have to understand what the things of the Spirit are versus the things of the natural. Well, in the Catholic Church, how many know that when you enter in the back, before coming into the church, there's a little tiny container of holy water? Okay. What do you do with that holy water? Normally, under traditions of men, you just put your hand in it and you bless yourself. Okay? You could root that back into Judaism, where they wash their hands. And if you went to Israel tomorrow, you'd find that in a restaurant, there's a place where you can wash your hands in a public lavatory, so that everybody sees you washing your hand ritualistically. You say, oh, come on. Now, why are you giving me that information? To wake you up. God didn't do in the natural the things that he did just for ha-has. He had a plan. He was trying to get them to see living water. And they couldn't see it. They only saw the natural. Okay? So, I was pressed of the Lord to bring a little tiny bottle, like you see the bottle of oil that we have there. Okay? Here was my press. It wasn't oil, it was water. Holy water. So I remember filling it up because the pastor had done some kind of a Holy Saturday situation where we had the water was blessed and so on and so forth. And I went and got a little bottle of water. So now we've got the name of the prayer group. It's going to be called the Children of Light. And a few days later, the Lord said to me in my heart, take the cover off your holy water. So I did. And I went like this, and all it smelled was roses. The strength of that smell was so strong, it made me drunk, Olivia. I'm talking about drunk. My head was swirling, and I could barely drive, because I was on the road. So I pulled over into a parking lot, and I'm smelling my bottle of holy water, and I'm giggling. Hee-hee, ha-ha, hee-hee, ha-ha. And the Lord said, are you enjoying the trip? And I said, yes, Lord, and there's no hangover. Now, the funniest part is my mother and I had a big war going on for many years. Because Mom and my father were both alcoholics. So if you think I like the idea of people being drunk, you got news coming. But he was changing my heart. He was letting me know that I'm a child with the Holy Ghost inside of me. And the Holy Ghost and the water were connecting. And it was producing what? A change of my brain through the smell. So now I became a fanatic. Whenever I wanted to know if it was God and if he was pressing me to do something, if I took the bottle of holy water and it smelled the roses, I knew it was him. How many know he'll use whatever he has to get through to you? How many know this thick skull doesn't need to know this book backwards and forward? It needs to know the author of the book. The author of the book is the Holy Ghost. Okay? So now I can remember, I am on the road. The Holy Spirit tells me that I'm supposed to go to a certain place, which I've never been before. Okay? And I really don't want to go because my brain is connected about the gas bill that's going to cost. Okay? So I see a parking space along the side of the road, and I pull over, and the Lord said, there's a bottle of holy water inside the glove compartment, because I had a spare. I didn't have it on me, but I had an extra one in the glove compartment. So I opened up the bottle, and to my awesome surprise, I smelled it, and I mean, the whole car was full of roses. I mean, so full that I couldn't get rid of the odor. And even when I put the cover back on, the anointing was all over the car. And I kind of bowed and did whatever God told me to do.
Go forward 3 years. You say you didn't get over it for 3 years?
You're absolutely right. I didn't get over it for 3 years. I'm in my house with my wife, and we're having a party with my future daughter-in-law's parents. Okay? And the only one that's left out of that is my wife, myself, and Patty's father. And they were planning to get married, so obviously I had talked to them about the Lord, and the whole family accepted Jesus, and the whole family got baptized in the Holy Ghost. But they were jealous of the holy water. So, it was on a Saturday night. Rick and Patty were gone on a date, and here are the four parents sitting in the kitchen. And they said, well, now look, we know that the Holy Ghost can do a lot of things, and he gave us tongues and all that stuff. But this holy water stuff, Kim, this is so absolutely ridiculous. I said, well, are you really serious? I said, of course I'm serious. I said, but it doesn't always smell. Only when the Holy Spirit anoints it will it smell the roses. So here we go. Remember now what it says. Verse 7. Okay? That you are not consciously falling behind or lacking in any special spiritual endowment or Christian grace, the reception of which is due to the power of the divine grace operating in your souls, your mind, your will, your emotions, by the Holy Spirit, while you wait and watch. Constantly living in hope for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and his being made visible inside of me. So here's what happened. The only person that really had not bowed to Jesus was Patty. She was coming to the Catholic Church with us once in a while, but she really wasn't a believer. So here's Pat and John, Irene and I, sitting at my kitchen table, and we literally took the bottle of holy water, put it in the middle of the table, and we prayed, all four of us together, that God would open their sniffer. Yeah, you're right. Say, I want to detect. Out of my sniffer. Not just light, but the holy darkness. Because even when it's dark, God can manifest in darkness. But when it's dark and it's ugly, the stench will be visible to me and detectable to me. That's how you discern spirits. Ah. So here we go. We pray diligently. The next thing we know, we're passing the little bottle from each other, one to the other, and the Holy Ghost opened up their noses, and now all four of us are drunk. And we're literally passing this little bottle. And you know, the giggles and all the drunken aspects are visible. And here comes Patty and Rick. They walk in. And Rick walks in. By the way, he's the one that took me to my wife's first prayer meeting. Not mine. But he actually drove me to my first prayer meeting. Anyway, to make a long story short. Yeah, you should also know that he went to a Baptist school, so he has the word in his heart. Anyway, my daughter-in-law-to-be literally walked out of the kitchen when she heard us and sat in the living room. Those of you who met my wife a little while ago, she walked into the living room and confronted her daughter-in-law-to-be. And she said, if you think that we are laughing at you, you've got news coming. She says, but you are not going to laugh at the Holy Ghost. She says, I just had a miracle because I could never smell what he smelled, pointing to me. But I have listened and I have understood and I have believed in faith, believing that it was right because I saw my husband change. And you're going to change because you're not walking down the aisle with my son. I'll object because unless you bow your knee to Jesus, you'll never marry him. Wow. And here's my future daughter-in-law And she's sitting in a big chair like this, okay? And she can't move. She's literally frozen to the chair. For 3 hours, she sat there. And my wife said to her, "When you're ready to bow your knee to Jesus, I'll be with you and I'll bow with you. Then you can marry my son." That's right. I've never told this before. But it's the truth. It took 3 hours. That girl cried. She screamed. She couldn't move. She yelled at her parents. She yelled at me. And the next thing you know, she was ready to kneel. And my wife led her to the Lord. And she did marry my son. And we have two beautiful grandsons today because of her. Yes, come on, give the Lord a clap offering. Why? Because God knows when to give you an experience that will shatter the unbelief out of anybody.
Amen.
And by the way, she fell and she fell back. She divorced my son. She had four other children. But this past week, she celebrated 6 years of sobriety. That's a glory to the God of heaven that has changed her and continues to change her. And he's not done yet. Now, do you think that for one moment I'm not respecting this woman? I respect her. And I know that she went through some things that nobody else could go through. But she did also bow her knee again to Jesus, because she couldn't stay sober if it wasn't for him. Does she know him completely like she knows maybe her father or her natural spirit? I don't know. I'm not answering to that. But I do know this. God had a plan for her life. And don't look at your children or your grandchildren as, "Oh my God, it's not going to work out." Cut it out. Let God do what he does best. Salvation is of whom? When are you going to see Jesus? In the flesh? You're going to see him in the flesh of your neighbor. You're going to see him in the flesh of the Spirit of God that's working inside of those that are sitting to you, next to you, working through you, working with you, sometimes even working against you. See, how can that be? You're going to see darkness as well. Darkness tries to what? Steal, kill, and? Why? Because the seeds of life are so vibrant that he can't stand when you are under the anointing. Verse 8. "And he will establish you to the ends. Keep you steadfast." Notice, he will establish you. Not you establishing yourself. He will establish you. Try it on. Say, "He will establish me. And he will keep me steadfast. Giving me strength. And guarantee my vindication." That is to be a warrant against all accusation and indictments. So that I will be guiltless, irreproachable in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. When are we living now? We're living in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Verse 9. "God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to his promise. And he can be depended on. By him, you were called into a companionship and participation with his son, Jesus Christ our Lord." I tell you, you're not alone in this thing. Okay? You're not alone. You never will be alone. He's never going to let you go. Does he know how much darkness still pushes you around?
Yes.
Is he getting all bent out of shape about it? What do? You humble yourself and say, "Lord, I need help." The best prayer you can have. Help! Jesus, where are you? And he'll respond, "I'm on the job." He'll respond, "I'm on the job." Bow your heads. Father, I gave him what you showed me this morning. And I gave it to you to the best. And now, Holy Spirit, confirm it. It doesn't have to be holy water, holy oil, or anything else. As long as it's your spirit doing a job in them to make them alive in you. So that those that look at them see you. And they visibly see the light in them that radiates and really shatters the darkness. And I ask this, Father, to be done in Jesus' name. And I'm asking for angels, for salvation to come into the hearts of those that are crying out, oh, can I be changed? Is it absolutely hopeless? No, it's not hopeless. It is absolutely of the Lord that you continue shining your light day in and day out for His glory. Amen.